Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. So, thank you today for joining the Spiritual Activist Radio channel here on BBS Radio. And today, we're going to be interviewing a really close friend of mine, a spiritual traveler through this third dimensional space and time. And Michael DiMartino of Golden Road Television and Radio is just one of his many, many habits or hats that he wears. Maybe it's a habit, too. Your life has become habitual almost. You know, once you get on this path, you can't hardly get off, because once you wake up, you can't go back to sleep. So today we're going to be talking about God only knows what we're going to be talking about, because him and I talk about a lot of different things. But I just want to say this to sort of set the foundation of this. I am asked frequently, Rahasia, what is the problem? What do you think the big problem in today's world is? And it's not Trump, communism, Hillary, space aliens. I really think it's apathy and the cognitive dissonance set up by incorrect thinking, a polarization of our thoughts. Like if I talk about Trump, for instance, I can't say anything good about him because he has done a couple of things good without half the population being on my case. And I can't say anything bad about him because he does a lot of bad. He's downright embarrassing sometimes without the Trump people getting on my case. They're so polarized. And I think that polarization sets up a belief system. And once a person locks into that belief that they're a Republican, a Christian, or whatever, it is so hard to get them out of that. And the only thing that helps is trauma. And we've just faced a big trauma here in paradise. So there's a lot of awake people right now. And I think that's a window of opportunity for people like ourselves. So like today, we're going to listen to Michael DiMartino. So, Michael, would you start this out on what's happening in your world right now?
Well, as you know, it's a world that we all share. So I'm not just a passive observer. I'm very involved in taking action. I want to thank you for this opportunity to not only connect as a friend, but as a fellow person who's deeply committed and has been for over a decade about independent media and to covering the people and the subject matter and the stories that you will not hear in corporate media. So I wanted to thank you for this opportunity to reach out to people as part of this ongoing global awakening. Secondly, I'd like to say you are a master of Freudian slips. And I love whenever we talk because, you know, we usually start off with a theme, and we know through our experiences and all the hundreds of people we've talked to that we can, you know, talk about many different subjects. And even more importantly, not just talk about subjects and get lost down rabbit holes of subject matter, but we can start to show how all these things are connected and interconnected and interdependent. So again, thank you for this opportunity just to continue reaching out to people to help educate them in their awakening, or at least those who are hungry for truth. So what's happening in my world, our world right now, is, of course, there's so many issues. There's so many problems that are happening that people are feeling overwhelmed. They are feeling apathetic, and they're feeling disempowered and disenfranchised, even to the point where their life, their effort, their voice, they don't even feel has any value. So again, I know through the vehicle of independent media, we're trying to give voice to that from the rock stars of these different of subjects that we talk about, the celebrities and the dignitaries, the organizations and government officials, but even the people, the grassroots people who have things to share of value. And it really starts with the indigenous people who have not been listened to or heard for so many hundreds of years here in North America, in Turtle Island, but really around the world, how the indigenous people have had a very deliberate genocide against them, their culture, and their teachings to the people here in North America who have been stacked at the bottom of the deck. So I want to just kind of preface our beginning of our discussion with that. So what's happening, it would probably be easier to say what's not happening. I think right now on every front, we're seeing so much change from environment to economics to religious wars. I mean, really every area of humanity is undergoing a transformation right now. I'd like to speak about that more later, about my time with the Hopi Indians and my understanding almost about the global prophecies and revelations that are coming into fruition and happening right now. And I'm not just talking biblically centric. I'm talking about all the different teachings from Edgar Cayce to the Hopi, to the Lakota, to the Mayan, of what's happening in the big picture right now. But as you know, Rahasia, humanity is going through an incredible purging and purification to get to some new way, some new paradigm that will help repair the problems and the issues and the brokenness of what we've been experiencing for hundreds and really thousands of years since the birth of the patriarchal consciousness.
You know, when you say it's going to repair the problems, you have to be honest and say, what if some of the problem is us? And then we have to get down to the point. And I always get to this bottom line. Like, if you and I were extraterrestrials sitting on our spacecraft, looking at the Earth, taking bets, is humanity going to make it or not? Well, I don't have a dog in that fight as an extraterrestrial, so I'd say, no, they're not going to make it. I would flat out say it's impossible. But being here, I'm, whether my optimism is warranted or not is debatable, but I have to be optimistic about this. But the only thing I can see that's really going to help is an elevated level of consciousness. Now, if that's going to come as a shift or as another nuclear war to wake a few of us up, I don't know what it's going to take, but I do know that there's vibrations coming in from the center of our galaxy that are measurable by scientists, and that's new coming in. It could be that this is a window of opportunity to open our minds up and really be part of this shift, because I think without a higher level of consciousness, we're doomed. We're not going to be able to figure this out. We've built a civilization built totally on the idea that it has to infinitely grow, and we based it on a financial system that has to infinitely grow, and we based that on finite resources. And that is coming to a close, and everything's coming to a close on every level: politics, religion, science, and finances, and our environment. Everything is culminating in this point that's in our immediate future. I mean, let's face it, these financial wizards that we call the banking cartels, they are masters at manipulating money, but it's run out. The Ponzi scheme has been pushed to the brink of collapse now. So what do you think it's
Are you implying that there's no gold backing the U.S. dollar?
Yeah, that would be my guess based upon a mountain of no evidence.
Are you implying that right now China and other countries have attempted or are pulling out of the U.S. dollar as the economic backing for the entire petroleum industry?
Oh, yeah. We're out of the OPEC basket now.
So, as you know, these are all things that are happening. And it's nice to kind of be tongue-in-cheek, but you are right. So let's break it down. Some of the changes. What are these changes? Right now, we're having climate change. Now, of course, that's a huge politicized point, and it's a way to divide people. So whether you believe it's being done by human intervention or if it's a natural cycle or a synergistic relationship of both, I think it's pretty easy to see that there is climate change happening. And for anyone who is in disbelief, I would just say take time to do some investigative research on yourself. The information is out there, although our current administration decided to pull down all of the science that was being provided to help support some of these theories and turn it into more of a conspiracy theory or a point just to create divisiveness between citizens here of the United States. And again, it's in contrary to what the rest of the world and the direction of the world is going. So it's made America fairly unpopular to take certain stances in the global community about things that are affecting the whole planet, not just the America or the American economy or the American taxpayer. So let's look at other things from climate change to environmental change, right? Recently, I live in a Mediterranean climate in Nevada County. And over the last 3.5 months, we've literally had 2 or 3 sunny days. Now, that's pretty extraordinary for all of us who live here in the Mediterranean climate. And of course, people could say, well, it's just a cloudier year. Luckily, we've had more rainfall this year than in the past. But if people want to refer to Forbes magazine and to some of the other large corporate media sources that have printed the fact that the Gates Foundation just gave $3 million to Harvard University to conduct a 6-month deployment level aerosoling of the atmosphere to black out the sun to see what the effects of climate change, which they're denying, would have not only on human health, but also on the effect of the heating and cooling of the planet. So, anytime, feel free to jump in. I know you're a wealth of information and I have some bullet points I hear I want to touch about. But it's come out that this whole idea of chemtrails, which we now call geoengineering, and weather modification and aerosol spraying, this is not a conspiracy theory anymore. It's been brought out to the mainstream with people like Dane Wigington and others. So, you know, if you want to follow up on that piece, I'm sure you have plenty to add to the conversation.
Yeah, actually, Dane sent us an article for this recent issue of Lotus Guide. And one of the things to consider about this is when you say chemtrails, that the people that are into the research say, you know, you almost have to forget about the term chemtrails because it has been so taken over by think tanks and just taken down to a level of conspiracy. Like you put in chemtrails in Google now and you get out so much bullshit. But if you put in geoengineering, they haven't really done too much to that yet. This is their idea of combating it. And like Dane was saying in the article, he's talking about the incendiary dust. This is one of the things we know for sure. I was talking to John Lord over in Lake County. He's a retired fire captain. He said there's over 1,000 degrees that they can't really account for. The only thing that accounts for that is the incendiary dust, which is the aluminum oxide. It is highly flammable, highly combustible. And Dane sent me a picture of a satellite picture. They were spraying over top of the fire as the fire is going. Now, what insanity would cause a person to do that? This is why the cognitive dissonance is so high, Michael, because you and I, we're not going to get up at 3 a.m, sit around and think of ways to screw over people and make money off the backs of other people's suffering. But there are people that do this. And I think it's really difficult for good people to wrap their heads around that.
And this is something they've been doing for a long time through the introduction, of course, of things like GMOs, fluoridation of the water, which calcifies the pineal gland. I mean, there's actually a whole blueprint of how you do things related to the subject matter of eugenics, of how you basically dumb down people and you can subjugate them through control. And again, it really boils down to the small percent who control the world's wealth, who basically have an attitude of profit over people and human life. So, which is a great thing because we're really breaking this down to not only just the science, but the grassroots aspects of how we're all being affected. I mean, the introductions of things like Roundup and pesticides and environmental toxins into our food and water supply at a horrifying rate is deeply concerning. Again, this is not a conspiracy theory. We can see that this is actually happening. Here in Nevada County where I live, 4 times a year, the Nevada Irrigation District literally sprays the canal sides banks with Roundup and is administering copper-based algicides into the water, which directly is getting into our groundwater and people's water table. There's a lot of things that are coming out with beyond toxic and non-toxic communities in reference to what's happening in places like Irvine, where schools are being sprayed, where parks are being sprayed, and they're doing a lot of legislational and litigational work to basically stop the some of the environmental toxins that are affecting the level of human cognition and our ability to see these issues and actually become active, compounded by our whole economic system, where most people have to work so hard to a point of sheer exhaustion that it's very hard to have any bandwidth and time to even look at these issues that affect really our community health. And I will say, all the things that we're going to talk about today, I want to keep it in the context of health and community well-being, and not try to say things in a way that are going to be overly be able to be politicized or to create division. Because right now, the whole message for humanity is to unify around our common core issue, our values and issues, and to make some really hard decisions and to implement innovative solutions.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of issues back. I wrote an article called How Did We Get Here? And the reason I wrote that article is because this is like the frog in boiling water. This has been so gradual that now we can actually go into a school and ask them, could you please not spray our children with toxic chemicals that are killing them? And think that that's even a question that should have to be asked. But yet we have to ask them. And I think 20, 30 years ago, if somebody would point to the future and say to a parent, the day is going to come when you're going to have to go into your school and ask the principal not to spray your kids with toxic poisons, we would have said, you're out of your mind. There's no way we're going to get there. Okay, we're there. Now we can come up with some really bizarre questions that are going to have to be asked 5 years from now. And people are going to say, oh, no, there's no way we'll get there. But believe me, we're getting there. Like David Icke says, this is the tiptoe to totalitarianism. We are gradually going into this.
Yeah, and I also want to play the devil's advocate for a minute, because I don't want anyone out there to just take my word for anything I ever say. Just like we should always do our due diligence and our investigation of truth to find out what is really happening. So again, I'm not here on a pulpit to preach or try to convince anyone. And I'm hoping by the end of this interview, more importantly, we can inspire people. Like Ram Dass said, the greatest institution of social change occurs in the human heart. So I'm trying to do this not to just give a list of facts, not to just try to educate people, but to help inspire you to action. Even if it's something as simple as putting a water filter in your home, eating non-GMO, eating organic foods, becoming more involved like yourself as an activist, helping to awake people's spirituality. That again, I'm doing this whole event with you today to help inspire people. Like, take the information, use it, because information is just information, but it becomes wisdom when we apply it into action. It becomes truly knowledge. So a couple of people I want to give a shout out for is Dr. Michelle Perot, who's a pediatrician that has basically, beyond the shadow of a doubt, proven the effects of a lot of these environmental toxins on our children's health. Now I believe it's something from 51 to 52% of kids are occurring with are suffering from chronic illnesses, everything from autism all the way to diabetes, obesity, and on and on. And a lot of this stems from the environmental toxins and the destruction of our digestive system and biome, which is our whole connection to our heart and to our brain and our ability to be, like the Buddha said, to be an enlightened or awakened person. So really, these environmental toxins are getting to core of people's ability to be cognitive, awake, and conscious. I also want to give a shout out to Dr. Liu, Shanhong Liu, who goes around the country doing scans of people to show them their levels of mineral deficiencies and balances, and also the level of environmental toxicity, and is helping to do consultations with people on how to get detox and to clean it up. So again, if you think this is a conspiracy of what we're talking about, do the due diligence, get the science, do the tests, see for yourself, because this is something that's affecting all of us. And I will say right now, on the planet, I believe the last report that there is no more absolutely clean surface water on the planet left to drink. It's all been tainted through heavy metals, environmental toxins, pesticides, herbicides, insecticides. So again, this is a very important thing because we know that water is life. We are mostly made of water. So if we're not able to get clean water, there's something really wrong with that picture. Look at Fukushima. We don't hear about it anymore. Fukushima is still spilling out radioactivity into the Pacific Ocean. Look at the Pacific Gyre Island. There's an island of plastic. I believe it's three times the size of Texas right now in the Pacific Ocean, breaking down into microplastics, which is getting into the world's ocean system, getting into our water system, getting into the environment, and has a huge impact on us. Look at the things like, again, herbicides, pesticides. Look at microplastics. Microplastics are everywhere. We have to get rid of our addiction and the convenience of using plastics. And one of the most nefarious that's not talked about is pharmaceuticals. For decades, pharmaceuticals have been being poured into toilets, into sinks, washed down the drains. And where does that go? It goes into our local water. It goes into a water purification system, which might not be cleansing them. It gets into our streams, our rivers, our water table, into the ocean. So the whole idea of Gaian hypothesis is that everything, all life on Earth is interconnected, whether through magnetic fields, through biology, through water, through earth, through soil. And we're in a real time of crisis on the planet right now.
Okay, so after everything you said, imagine now that I'm just out here in the public and I say, Michael, this doesn't make sense because the people that are doing all this, they have to live on the planet too. Why would they do this?
Okay, well, I'm going to put on my disguise because I don't want to be liable for any level of character assassination here.
Okay.
So I'm not who I appear to be right now. I'm somebody else.
Okay.
You can't recognize me, right?
Who are
okay.
you?
I'm doing this kind of tongue in cheek. I'm doing this tongue in cheek because you know what? It's time to come out of the shadows and not be worried about what people think or what people feel about you. It's time to come out to get educated and to bring the truth forward and to come out of the shadows. I know a lot of people who won't even talk about any of the issues we're talking about today because people might think they're weird or strange or that they're a conspiracy theorist. And again, I implore all of you to do your own investigative journalistic research. So a lot of this really goes back to in 1992, I attended the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And it was an amazing event, very promising that all the countries of the world were getting together to talk about the potential future environmental collapse. So during this event, what we found out is that a lot of the leaders of the world talked about the problems and they came up with a solution. And the solution is called Agenda 21. Now, part of Agenda 21 has some great aspects about looking at different things that are happening in the environment. Some other aspects about the reality of huge masses of our population basically going extinct are kind of built into it. And we can see now with the rolling out of certain things that this is coming into fruition. So I'm not going to speak a lot about that. Again, do your due diligence, but explore and check out Agenda 21. Another piece of information that's happening, we find out right now under this profit over people reality, is I recently did an interview years ago with Dennis Kucinich. And during that interview, I asked him about NASARA, which is the National Economic Securities and Reformation Act. And basically, it's a piece of legislation that for decades has been tucking money away in case America comes into a crisis where the people who have been paying into the system are, whether through unemployment, through natural disasters, all these different elements are needing financial and economic support. He said, well, because I'm a politician, I can't comment on this point at this time. So there's a lot of things because of people who are playing politics, people who are celebrities in the public eye, they can't say because they're concerned about their reputation. But on that, look at people like Jim Carrey, who dropped out of the Hollywood machine, who came out about what's happening around very nefarious actions in the Hollywood community, everything from pedophilia to sexual exploitation. I mean, look at Bernie Weinstein. He's just the tip of an iceberg
of a whole problem that's happening in Hollywood. So everywhere you look, like you said, environmental science, the film industry, we can see these profit over people mentalities. And I think that it's because that mentality is so popular and ingrained in us, we ended up with our current administration, who's basically a billionaire and part of the swamp that needs to be drained. Because as we can see, you know, he has definitely, with the Mueller report coming out, been in, I won't even word to use collusion, but has definitely tried to use his political power to exploit his power to further his real estate mogulness and his empire in many countries around the world, even with those who are directly juxtaposed to America and freedom and what our country is supposed to stand for.
Yeah, it's I've been listening to some people starting to speak out from pretty high levels of the military and the government, and they are starting to say, hey, we better do something, like, not tomorrow, but right now, because we're on a very slippery slope and we're sliding fast into a direction that if we would have a World War III right now, we're not going to have a whole lot of allies. I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what Trump does about Julian Assange, because now that he's out and in the hands of England, he's putting pressure on England to extradite Julian here, supposedly to be prosecuted. I think he's going to end up getting killed if we're not careful. But England is our ally. Okay, that relationship, for that to stay intact, England should let him be extradited back to America. But here's the wrinkle in this, is it was Julian Assange and a lot of his information about Hillary that was implemental to get Trump even elected to president. And the fact that there's so many people that are going, wait a minute, what is it that he did that was actually illegal? He skipped out on a bail. I think that's about the only actual illegal crime that he did. And I'm sure that could be squashed because it wasn't even a charge that stuck, you know? There are things on the forefront. Right. Like, I think that when, what is his name, Prince Ferdinand was shot, that started World War I, no one really got the significance of one guy being shot, how it could start a whole world war. I think this thing with Julian is really an important milestone in the direction that we're going to take, not only as investigative journalists and researchers and people and humanity as a whole, but how is this planet going to go when the whole planet, or most of the planet, is seeing one way and the world governments are seeing another way?
Well, that's a great point. And look at the effects of certain people in the past and their impact in society, who basically aren't around anymore. People like John F. Kennedy, right? His brother. Look at Martin Luther King. Look at John Lennon. Look at Gandhi. These are people that tried to represent people at the most core part of their beliefs. And even though some of them were a little more politically involved and tried to expose things, nonetheless, I think that most of those people we could see as great peacemakers and had good intentions and had the global and the world community in mind. So on that note, I would like to say, just to go back for another second before we go on, you know, again, we talked about why would people do this? Well, I want to implore people to check into HAARP. HAARP is a system of using microwaves that's been installed up in the area of Alaska that has definitely been doing work with microwaves and weather and climate change research. I mean, a lot of this technology even goes back to the Vietnam War when we were using weather manipulation technology. Look at the outrolling of the 5G millimeter wave networks that are happening across all the country and the impact on bird populations, the impact on community health. This is something that's really come to light. Look at, like you said, at the effects of these wilder than wildfires that are happening mysteriously all around through California. Look at the effects of what's happening with climate change and coastal flooding. There was a group of indigenous people here in Nevada City a few weeks ago, who basically said that the Solomon Islands, which is their ancestral homeland, in the next 5 to 10 years will be underwater. So it's undeniable that change is happening. And I do want to leave time at the end about talking about solutions, because it's very obvious. Anybody who does the research can see the problems that are happening. And I don't want to feel like I'm just here preaching to the choir. Hopefully we're reaching new people, new minds, people whose minds are opening, because like in the Paradise Fire, the Carr Fire, like in the Delta Fire in Shasta, like the fires in Santa Rosa, the fires in Los Angeles, one of them which actually burned a hazardous waste dump. We never heard about that in corporate media. People's health, our children are being affected, and it's no longer we can go burying our head in the sand. We have to take an active part in these innovative solutions and changes. I absolutely, in the spirit of Gandhi, I never advocate an adversarial position, because we're working with a lot of different elements. I think we have to make this about our community health. We have to make this about collaboration. We have to find solutions. So I'm not here to try to topple an old paradigm that is broken and not working anymore. I'm here to help initiate a new paradigm and a new way of thinking. So we have to really be very careful in our verbiage and how we inspire people to make sure, A, it's nonviolent. B, we have to do it by regionalism and taking responsibility in our own life, our own health, and our own backyard. Like Christ said, walk your talk, right? We have to take the responsibility to remove the hypocrisy of our own life and to connect with others and to continue to build this web of connectedness, communication, and a collective strategy.
So, Michael, what would you suggest? Like, let's face it, you and I both know that there's a lot of things right now that we're not even going to bring up, because too many people, their eyes would glaze over, and it would discredit, invalidate exactly so many of the things that we talk about. Like, I can talk about certain subjects in a closed circle with friends that I am absolutely, there's a mountain of evidence for that's what's happening. But I agree, we have to be careful, because we do want to reach beyond the choir and get people to wake up. So what would you say to the average person? What can you actually do today?
Well, I think we have to change our very core beliefs of how we've been brainwashed into thinking. Now, I recently had a Kathleen Riley I worked with. She works at the HeartMath Institute. They explore and research about the heart has its own intelligence, and that the heart actually has its own brain, and that heart's magnetic field is 1,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field. So we have to go from the mental patriarchal mindset of control. We have to come back into our true core essence, which is all the religion. I'm actually an interfaith minister. I went to a 2.5-year seminary program. I studied all the world religions, and they all just say the same thing. Do to others what you want to have done unto you. So I think we need to detox. We need to heighten our level of awareness and cognition. And that's easier said than done. You have to get off the garbage foods, the toxic foods. You have to do detoxing. You have to do fasting. You have to do cleansing. And what you have to do is you have to awaken that, what they call in Buddhism, the bodhicitta. You have to awaken that natural sense of grace and compassion, that when you see a homeless person on the street, to you see the president of our country, to when you see anyone, you can see the common humanity in all things. So it starts from that place of having a universal sense of compassion, whether you're looking at someone who has a different religion than you. I mean, we can see the effects of religious intolerance and extremism all over the world. Look at the bombing recently in Sri Lanka. Look at all the things that are happening with ISIS. All over the world, we have religious fanaticism. So we have to come back to a true state of spiritual grace and understanding that humanity is one. We're all created in the image and connected to the same source, regardless of our skin color, age, gender, religion, or sexual preferences. Because in all religions, it says, judge not or you will be judged. So all these people who are holding judgment on other people are basically setting themselves up to be judged based on their own hypocrisy and misunderstanding of truth and of universal truth. And I say this not just as a person, but as a person who has traveled all over the world as a licensed seminarian graduate from the New Seminary. as an interfaith minister and someone who has talked with, worked with everything from people in Hindu ashrams to Buddhist temples to the Native American community to the jungles of the Amazon to the Islamic sands of the Saharan Desert in Egypt, we have to come to a place of universal brother and sisterhood. So from that place, we can start to wake up and say, wow, what I do affects you. So in that state of universal brotherhood, we can start to look at changing our lifestyles, changing our decisions, and doing things in a way that take everybody into consideration. And again, if you can't find that in your own self and your own community member, look at a child. I don't know how any human being, whether human, cybernetic, or reptilian, or alien, genetic, downloaded, whatever, I don't know how any being in the universe could look at a child and not have a sense of caring and responsibility for what they do and how it's affecting those children. I'll tell you, if you don't, just go to an autistic center for kids with autism. Go to a place where children, like Shriners Hospitals, where children are suffering from diseases, not just genetic diseases, but diseases that are occurring because of our mismanagement of our own behavior and of natural resources based on this extractive profit over people mentality. So we have to get out of that old paradigm of thinking, because before colonialism, before this empirical nature of profit over people, before you know, the kings and queens and the lords of the land, and before all of these things, even before even all of the prophets, there's a certain state of natural grace that occurs. So we have to first start with the first ingredient being reconnecting with our sense of our humanity and spiritual self. And that's why I love in your show, Spiritual Activists. I know that that's what inspires you to do the work you do and to have the energy to do what you do and bring to light all of these things. It has to come from a spiritual core, not from just an intellectual based thing, but we have to combine the head, the spirit, the mind, and the body like a pyramid, right? We have to connect these things into a unified and balanced field so we can move forward with balance and equilibrium. And a big part of that is the role of women being part of that, not just men.
Well, I almost said amen, brother, but you know, here's the thing about spiritual activist is because the reason I called it the show that is because I think most of our problem on this planet is a lack of spiritual consciousness. And there's one level where you can recognize that. You touched on it, just information. You know, that's good to get information out there. But if you don't take action, you know, like in the Middle East, they say believe in Allah, but tie up your camel first. In the Emerald Tablets, supposedly written thousands of years ago by Thoth, he says, wisdom along with power has to be worked hand in hand. Wisdom can't become wisdom from information until you take action and increase the power behind that. And I think that's where we're at today. We need to recognize the fact that nothing is going to come from the king and the queen and the prince and the emperor and the czars. Never has. It's always come from just us, right down here at the ground level of getting together, doing what we're doing. And thank goodness, you know, it's sort of strange that the government has actually created the seeds of their own demise by creating the internet. This is the one thing that we have going for us, which is why they want to control it. But we have to take action. We have to step into our power because we've been disempowered by religion. We've been disempowered by our parents. We've been disempowered by educational systems, society, especially women. Women have just been subdued and suppressed for so many years that I think we've honestly forgot that, wait a minute, this is, when I walk out here in my front yard, this is my planet. This is my planet, just as much as it is Bush or Trump or anybody else on this planet. I am here by divine right. And I think we need to start really stepping into that power. And this is why I think they're so against us coming together, because it's not the 99%. We are the 99.999%. There's only a few of them that's right. Doing this. And we basically let the insane people take over this asylum, and now we're waking up to this.
Yeah, and also part of how they do that is by creating these perverse mythologies. Right now, some of the biggest, and believe me, I grew up on Marvel comics, right? One of the biggest things right now that people go for media is these superhero films, right? So we've gone from this culture of where, and I do want to say this, religion does not necessarily constitute spirituality. I should put my glasses on for that, okay? All right. I'm anonymous right now. Just because you're religious, it does not necessarily constitute spirituality. Religion, as you know, a lot of them, religio means to bind together. Well, a lot of binding people together, they can use dogma, they can use manipulation, they can use economic systems. And as we can see with all of the pedophilia that's rampant in the Catholic Church, to radicals, radical Islam, of people who are blowing up people of other religions and killing people, when we know thou shalt not kill is actually part of a universal spiritual truth, that we're getting these false deities that people need to believe in. And people are really into the sensationalism of superheroes. So it's kind of like we went from following the path of the Buddha to the enlightened one. And now our new mythology is more about people like Black Panther, who goes out and crushes things and kills people and gets the bad people and does all of these things. So we can see every aspect of our society has been manipulated. This media has been manipulated so that our whole, like Joseph Campbell said, our whole mythology has been distorted. Look at the mythology of like the Lord of the Rings movie, where all the gnomes and the elves and all the earth people got together to defeat Sauron, right? The evil eye that was controlling everything. Look at things like Star Wars. So there is positive messaging in some of this media, but nonetheless, it's really perverted and distorted our perception of reality. And a big part of that, for me, I go back to the ancient prophecies. Part of my work as an interfaith minister has been studying world prophecy. How are we doing for time? I want to make sure we have a graceful and poetic.
We still have about 15 minutes.
Oh, great, great. So in part of my research as an interfaith minister, I started working on a book called Ancient Prophecies and Future Visions of World Cultures. And what I found is all of the traditions and cultures were basically saying the same thing about the world has gone through various stages of purification and earth changes and cataclysms. The Mayan and Hopi talk about the first world, the second world, the third world, the fourth world. Of course, December 21st, 2012, they said it was the ending of the Mayan calendar. So we can see beyond our colonial mentality between our Gregorian calendar system that there was a lot of very evolved cultures around the world. And I know people like Greg Braden are bringing these things to the forefront, from everything of like the mystery of the Great Pyramids of Egypt to the huge pyramids they're finding in South America that still to this day, engineers cannot even understand how they built these structures. So we have to say that there's been ancient civilizations on Earth far more superior than us that have a lot more insight and answers and thousands of years of evolution, even looking to India right now and the incredible archive of Vedic knowledge there is in the mythology, that these ancient cultures knew stuff that we just haven't known. And then through these purifications, some of this knowledge has been preserved and passed on. Some of it's been destroyed. But the unanimous thing I found with all of these cultures, and I want to get right down to it, and if anyone wants to contact me about it, I can talk for hours on this subject. That the humanity, and I'm going to switch my verbiage more over to the Mayan and to the Hopi prophecies, that humanity is going through a time of Koyaanisqatsi. In Hinduism, they call it Kali Yuga. We're in a time of ignorance, of destruction, of being self-absorbed, where this profit over people mentality will be rampant. It's an age of darkness and deceit and misery and suffering. But through this, we'll come to another golden age of collaboration and cooperation. So we're in this time of the Koyaanisqatsi, and we're about to entering into this great cycle of the great purification. And part of this great purification, the ending of the Mayan calendar, is that all of the elements, earth, water, fire, and air, will begin to crescendo to cleanse not only the planet, but to cleanse humanity. And unfortunately, I hate to say, I think a lot of people are not going to make it through these times. if you don't know where your food and your water is coming from, if you don't have your garden planted, if you don't, I mean, even with the Paradise Fire, people who weren't prepared for a potential catastrophe did not weather well. Some of them actually passed away. And now we have something like 20 to 30,000 refugees of people who are in our own country. So we're going to continue to see a crescendo of fires, crescendo of the element of water, of flooding, of air, of earthquakes, of tsunamis, and all of these things, even the reality, the scientific reality of the magnetic pole shifting right now, that people should wake up and be prepared. I'm not saying this out of fear. Follow your own intuition, follow your own cognitive intuition, and do what you feel is necessary. But we're in this time of purification, and through this purification, we are going to usher in a new millennium of you know, they call it Satya Yuga, the golden age, where we're going to be, where society is going to once again realize that cooperation, collaboration, even if we look at the Darwinian model, which has been proved wrong, it's not strong survival of the fittest. It's survival of the cooperative and collaborative. That's how nature works. It's not about who can dominate who. It's about who can work together. So through this whole crescendo of these elements and these earth changes, we are going to be initiating a new time on earth. So this is not something, you know, that I'm just referring in a biblical sense, the whole Armageddon, you know, doom and gloom reality of war and destruction of humanity. It's going to be a destruction, but it's going to come from many different things like nature, by human hand, through war. We can already see it. There's a great cleansing going on the planet. And I'm very hopeful as a child of the 60s, who grew up with all the idealism of the civil rights movement, the human rights movement, the back to the land movement, the organic food movement, the spirituality, looking into natural medicine and psychoactive drugs to increase our consciousness, Dr. Timothy Leary, all these people that I grew up in that culture. But what happened in the 80s? Everybody went to sleep. Everybody fell back to sleep because they got enticed into capitalism, or they went back to sleep because they thought it was just a stoned hallucinatory experience that they had in the 60s, but something was opened up there. And that movement has created to this day the foundations of so many things. So we went from sex, drugs, and rock and roll to healthy, happy, holy. So we're in this time of great transformation. And I encourage everyone to get in touch with your intuition and be part of the change, be part of creating the community that you want to see. And again, look into the prophecies. And real quick, there's a lot of validation that we're in this time. The birthing of the white buffaloes, what's happening now around Israel and some of the things in Jerusalem and the moving of the capitals and all these other things. Anyways, it's a deep rabbit hole we can go down to, but we're in a time of change. So do everything you can to heal yourself, to be involved in your community, to be self-reliant, self-sustainable, to be regenerative, reach as many people as you can, wake as many people as you can up, do the compassionate work, but more importantly, have your own hypocrisy in check and try to walk the talk.
Yeah, you know, thinking about reaching out to people, and we have this hesitancy. It just reminds me of one time Ram Dass was giving a talk to a, you know, a group of people, and this was at a time when he had his white robe and his beads, and most of the people in the audience were, you know, hippies and, you know, the new age people at that time. But there was this little old lady sitting in the second row back. She had a little patent leather purse, and she had a little hat on with little cherries and stuff on top. And, you know, a typical little 78, 79-year-old woman. And he was talking about hallucinogenic drugs and some of the psychedelic trips he was taking. And he noticed that every once in a while she would nod her head as acknowledging that, some kind of recognition. So he thought, well, you know what? I'm going to take this woman way out there. So he started talking about some just outrageous psychedelic trips he's had and some excursions out into the cosmos. And the more he would talk, the more she would go, yes, yes, yes. This is, she was totally acknowledging it. So after the talk, he's standing around talking with some people, and he kept looking over and smiling, hoping that, you know, she'd come over. And sure enough, she came over. And he got her aside and he said, you know, I have to ask you, it seems like you were relating to all of these bizarre things I was talking about. You know, what is our common ground here? And she sort of leaned over conspiratorially and whispered in his ear, I crochet. And he said, at that moment, my world just got a lot bigger, you know, because there's so many paths to get to where we're going.
And that's actually was the whole foundation of the interfaith ministry, of working with people doing a lifestyle coaching, is regardless of the religious background, that, you know, there's many religions, they all come from one interconnected source. So even in quantum mechanics right now, and the ideas of dark energy and all these things, we're seeing how everything in the universe is connected and part and parcel of it. Look at the research done by Dr. Emoto, where what we feel, what we experience. I mean, I remember when I was a kid in the 70s, we saw a film in school called The Secret Life of Plants. Whatever you feel and experience, a plant will transfer. If you're kind, the plant will grow nicely. If you come in, you're like, oh, that's such a dumb plant, and you're mean to it, it actually stunts its growth. So there is a quantum field. There is an interconnectivity between us, between the elements, and between each other. And our strongest, our strongest sense of Wi-Fi, it's called the internet online, but it's our internet. The internet is what connects all of our hearts together, because we feel what each other feel, and we can experience what each other feel. So part of my dedication of this internet is we're about to start a 6-month water protector tour. We started the event actually at Mount Shasta on the spring equinox. And we're working with the indigenous community there, Chief Kayleen Sisk of the Winnemem-Wintu. We're going to be doing events in Redding in collaboration with the Machupta Maidu. We're also going to be doing stuff in Nevada City. But right now we're just picking one issue that we can focus on, because we can talk till we're purple in the face, but unless we're doing something actively, it's hard to actualize what we're talking about, and it's hard to get any traction. So we're breaking it down to the simple reality of water protector tour for the Sacramento River watershed, which is from Mount Shasta, Sacramento, Davis, the Bay Area, all the way up to Lake Tahoe and Truckee, where the snowmelt is, to get people to realize what's in our water, what are the problems, what are the solutions, okay? So we're about to start like this ongoing 5-month tour. And if people want more information, you can go to goldenroadproductions.com. This is our website for our production company, or you can go to our website, which is now an umbrella of everything in the region we're trying to connect the dots on around community resilience. Now, I know a lot of people equate resilience to the Rockefellers, who funded, they put out $500 million to 100 cities worldwide about being more resilient, more prepared, more innovative to deal with all the changes that are happening in the world. But we're talking about community and grassroots resilience. Has no relationship to any sort of nefarious agenda, Agenda 21 or anything like that, about connecting our region, the Sacramento River watershed, around issues and solutions. And right now, the one issue I'm trying to champion is about water protection. Water is life. Water connects us all. So I want to invite everybody to connect through our inner web by going out to some water in the area, put your feet in it, send out good intentions to the water, picture clean water. Let's all connect on this issue. Show up at some of the public forums that we're doing in Mount Shasta on the headwaters. Actually, we'll be there on June 23rd, actually teaching people in the community on how to do water testing. And we have a whole series of events planned starting May 4th. We're going to be at the California Honey Festival in Woodland. After that, we're going to be June 9th on May 26th on KVMR.org live talking about this. June 9th, we're going to be up at this place called the Lotus Guide Center in Paradise. I've heard great things about those guys. They're doing a lot of great stuff. And of course, that's you and Dara. And a big shout out to all the work that you do. And even you guys are at the front line of the whole Paradise Fire, human resilience part of the picture. So again, much praises to you, and please be safe, because we know what's happening up there with the levels of toxicity. June 23rd, we're going to be at Mount Shasta. June 30th, back on KVMR.org live. July 7th in Redding. We're going to be at this Heirloom Seed Conference in Santa Rosa. And then Sunday, September 21st, we're having a culminative event. It's going to be a rally and symposium at the state capitol called Water Protectors California. We're inviting all the different speakers and musicians to get together to strategize, not just bitch about and talk about to strategize how we can clean up California's water in relationship to the environmental toxins, the herbicides, the pesticides, the microplastics, the pharmaceuticals, and of course, the petroleum-based industries that are affecting all of us and all of our health and our sanity and our children and the planet.
One more time, Michael, what is your website?
For our production company, people can go to goldenroadproductions.com. Even more importantly, because I'm just one member of this huge alliance regionally, they can go on Facebook to the Alliance for Resilient Communities. And resilience just means an ability for a community to get together, to identify issues and create innovative solutions. We hold a roundtable every Monday here in Nevada County. And you can also check out the sourcedirectory.org, which is just a listing of trying to find the people who are doing good work and like what you do, helping to elevate our community and the people who need to be recognized for their contributions.
All right, Michael, we're going to have to call it quits for today, but I really appreciate your time. And we're going to have to do this again because there was a lot of takeoffs on everything we're talking about that we could spend hours talking about. But I think we touched on some of the main points of what you're doing and how people can get involved. So thank you very much. And I'll be talking to you again soon.
All right. Thank you for the time. You and Dara for Lotus Guide Magazine, for Spiritual Activist Radio, and all that you do. I mean, you're carrying the responsibility of thousands of people. So thank you and blessings to you and Dara and to everyone who watched this broadcast.
Take care, Michael.
What goes